From North State Public Radio, I'm Eric Adams with your headlines for Friday, January 9th. Remembrances for the late Congressman Doug LaMalfa poured in from the House of Representatives yesterday. NSPR's Andre Bayek has more on the unlikely friendships he made.
The North State Republican was remembered as a warm presence in Washington. LaMalfa's colleagues spoke for an hour on the House floor about the relationships they built with the farmer from Butte County. That included bonds forged across the aisle. Representative Jill Takuda is a Democrat from Hawaii. She said her friendship with LaMalfa started in the face of disaster.
I'll never forget November 8th, 2023. Doug stood here on this floor and he marked 5 years since the campfire. I was marking 3 months since the Lahaina fire in Maui. And he came up to me, gave me a hug after, and he said, "We're going to get through this together." And I believed him. I still do. And he gave me hope.
That's Takuda in comments broadcast by C-SPAN. She said she worked with LaMalfa on disaster funding and rural health care. She remembered how he nicknamed her Barracuda and would bring her favorite almonds. She brought him Spam Musubis.
Doug and I didn't agree on a lot of things, but we always showed up for each other.
LaMalfa's death was announced early Tuesday morning. A special election will determine who carries out the remainder of his term. Details are expected to be announced by Governor Gavin Newsom soon. In Chico, I'm Andre Bayek.
The U.S. military's capture of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro this weekend is drawing strong reactions here in Chico. For some with ties to Venezuela, it's a moment of relief that Maduro's grip on the country is over. Others warn it could set a risky precedent. As the news broke early Saturday, Chico resident Mari Jakes Taneo rushed to tell her sleeping mother.
I woke her up like at 2 in the morning. She's like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "They got him." She's like, "No." And then she started like shake, all emotional.
Both were thrilled to hear that Maduro had been arrested. Taneo grew up in Venezuela. She says her life there was shaped by years of corruption and dictatorship under Maduro and his predecessor, Hugo Chavez.
Like, honestly, I'm very happy. I'm very grateful with what's going on because, like I said, we're finally seeing this little light at the end of the tunnel because I never thought that I was going to be alive to, like, live this moment.
But some warn this moment could come with serious consequences. Steve Lewis is a history professor at Chico State who focuses on Latin America. He says the capture is not a surprise after weeks of U.S. aggression and calls it ominous and dangerous.
It's just hard to know how the Venezuelan military will react, how ordinary Venezuelans who were, you know, most of them were supportive of Chavez 15 years ago. Ordinary Venezuelans, are they going to put up with a kind of a colonial status? We'll see.
Lewis says President Donald Trump took advantage of the situation since Maduro was unpopular and an easy target.
He also happens to be controlling a country that has the largest proven oil reserves in the world, right? So Venezuela is still rich in oil, but due to sanctions and due to corruption and other things, the Venezuelan people have not been able to derive any benefits from it.
Those oil reserves are central to the conflict and to concerns about U.S. involvement there. In a close vote yesterday, the Senate advanced a measure that could force U.S. troops out of Venezuela unless Congress signs off. California Senator Adam Schiff voted to move the resolution forward. He said instead of curbing the flow of drugs, Trump's real goal was seizing the country's oil. Here he is in remarks broadcast by C-SPAN.
An administration that had promised to end foreign wars has begun a new one. A president who had decried the use of force for regime change or to engage in nation building has just committed our country to both.
Schiff added that the Trump administration misled the public about its intentions in Venezuela and said the president should focus on Americans struggling to make ends meet at home. Back in Chico, Taneo says people have been reaching out to her to offer sympathy, but she says those reactions often miss how Venezuelans themselves are viewing the moment. She says for many, it's not just a political flashpoint, but a deeply personal issue shaped by lived experience. And it's one that she feels is often misunderstood by outsiders.
Are they Venezuelan? Do they know exactly what does being Venezuelan and living in Venezuela means and things. So they didn't have to go through what we've been through all these 27 years.
Trump says the U.S. could be in Venezuela for years to come. But Teneo remains hopeful that the U.S. won't take over the country. She supports Venezuela's opposition party, whose leader is widely believed to have won the last presidential election, despite Maduro's party staying in power. The sentencing of the man found guilty of arson in the Thompson Fire case has been postponed to late January. Spencer Anderson appeared in the Butte County courtroom yesterday following his December trial. KRCR reports that the request for a postponement was due to inconsistencies between the details in the probation report and the judge's stated maximum potential sentence at the time. The Thompson Fire prompted widespread evacuations in the Oroville area and destroyed nearly 30 structures in 2024. The Butte County District Attorney has dismissed a murder case against a Palermo woman accused of shooting and killing her husband on Christmas. Officers responded to a 911 call from Julie Castaneda in the early morning hours. They found her deceased husband, Carlos Castaneda, with multiple gunshot wounds. They were later determined to be from a pistol registered to her. The woman at first refused to cooperate with detectives, but District Attorney Mike Ramsey says she later changed her mind after investigators informed her of evidence they found suggesting she acted in self-defense. Ramsey says victims often refuse to cooperate in domestic violence cases, and for different reasons. In this case, Castaneda had been advised by a firearms instructor not to answer questions. Ramsey says sometimes the abused try to protect their abusers. Governor Gavin Newsom has not yet announced when the special election to carry out the remainder of Congressman Doug LaMalfa's term will be, but speculation is already swirling around who might run to fill the seat left vacant by his death. The election would be held under current district lines and favor a Republican. CBS Sacramento spoke with Republican strategists who say there could be a crowded field of candidates from the North State, but one name stands out. Assemblyman James Gallagher. Gallagher hasn't announced plans for the pending election. He considered LaMalfa a close friend and mentor. The Concow Valley Band of Maidu Indians were officially recognized by the city of Oroville at a council meeting earlier this week. The tribe has been pursuing federal recognition for years. The city resolution acknowledges the tribe's historical lineage to the Butte County area and supports its efforts to gain federal status. The tribe's chairman told the Chico Enterprise Record his next steps will be filing a revised petition to the federal government or seeking support from a congressional representative. Governor Gavin Newsom delivered his final State of the State address this week. Cap Radio's Laura Fitzgerald reports Newsom highlighted accomplishments and previewed his budget priorities for this year.
In his address at the state capitol, Newsom presented California in sharp contrast to the Trump administration. He blasted the federal government for its immigration enforcement tactics and drastic cuts in federal assistance.
But in California, we're not silent. You're not silent. You're not hunkering down. We're not retreating. We're a beacon. The state is providing a different narrative, an operational model, a policy blueprint for others to follow.
Newsom touted a 9% reduction in unsheltered homelessness last year, an $11 cap for insulin, and higher wages for fast food and healthcare workers during his tenure. The governor's address also comes as the state faces a possible $18 billion budget deficit. But Newsom presented a rosier picture, saying that the state revenues are $42 billion higher than forecasted last year. He also suggested the state should invest more in public education. Republicans, perhaps unsurprisingly, are pushing back on Newsom's characterization of this year's budget outlook. They're calling for a bigger focus on bringing down the cost of living. Republican Assemblymember Josh Hoover of Folsom.
Well, I didn't hear a lot of cuts proposed today. I actually heard a lot of increased spending proposed today.
The address comes ahead of Newsom's widely expected presidential bid in 2028. In Sacramento, I'm Laura Fitzgerald.
Looking ahead to events happening around Chico this weekend, one show promises a taste of Louisiana funk without leaving town. 80 Soul and the Tribe will take the stage at the Down Low. Soul says the genre is best experienced firsthand.
There's no funk like it. There's no sound like it. So with our music, we tell stories a lot. And it's passion behind the stories.
Sol says his musical inspiration is from his family's influence.
It's a huge part in my life, period. So I grew up singing with my dad. My dad is a pastor, a gospel singer. My mom was a choir director.
That show is Saturday, again at the Down Low. It's free. More about the band at mynspr.org. And those were your headlines for Friday, January 9th. Our theme song is Burrow and courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions. For more local and state news, visit our website at mynspr.org. For NSPR News, I'm Eric Adams.